been hearing the same old voice say the same old lie. You are trying to fill the hole inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. You've been trying to fill the hole deep inside. There's a better life. There's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you've been lost, he's a chain breaker.
Now we've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain,
he's a pain taker.
If you've been lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom,
a saving, he's a prison shaking savior.
If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
He's a chain breaker.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or safety,
if you got chains,
he's a chain breaker.
If you got pain,
he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior.
If you got chains,
he's a chain breaker.
If you got chains,
he's a chain breaker.
I'm not used to emceeing. I'm like, oh, they finished. It's my turn. Praise the Lord, everyone, this morning. So great to be here in the house of the Lord. And you can be seated. And it's so great. We had a tremendous Bible study this morning. Brother Wallace Carter preached and did a tremendous job. Thank you so very much, Brother Wallace. And if you're a guest of ours, it is such an honor to have you here in the house with us. Or if you're visiting online, we have a little connection card that we'd like to connect with you. So if you wouldn't mind filling that out and get that into one of our ushers or into the kiosk out in the vestibule, that would be awesome. Also, if you'd like to, we have some giving options here this morning at Calvary Gospel Church. We have a offering box out in the kiosk. It's just a glass, plexiglass box. You'd like to take it, put an offering in there, you can do that, or you can mail it in and here at 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can take and you can give online, and you can follow the various, we have new mobile giving. If you have an Apple device or an Android, you can take and put an app on your phone. Brother Phil Demas is our administrator here at Calvary Gospel Church, and he's been working diligently getting all of this set up for us. And it's an awesome database. Our church, we have a database here that we keep track of a lot of various things, our schedules and all of that. So if you have the app on your phone, you'll be able to take and access all of that information as we load it up and get it out there through the app. So I want to encourage you to do that. And you can also give there online there. We have this Thursday, we have Thanksgiving. It's already Thanksgiving almost. And Thursday, we're having our community Thanksgiving dinner. And Brother Jerry Simmons is responsible for that. If Brother Jerry could just stand. So if you have any questions, like to be involved in that, we're looking for some donations and such. Just go ahead, and if you have a financial donation you'd like to take and give to this, you could just put it into the offering, or you can go online and give, and you would give through the benevolent fund. Just put Thanksgiving dinner down there, a benevolent fund, and we'll make sure that that gets to where it needs to go. We have a special program, a promo for Brother Peter Sandin. There he is. Come on, Brother Peter.
Thanks, Pastor Roy. I'm up here to talk about CGC's Ladies Weekend coming up on December 3rd and 4th. Woo-hoo! Yes, we should be excited. It's a good thing. Even the men, we could be excited. And you might ask, why is a man up here getting everybody excited for Ladies Weekend? First off, because Ladies is part of family ministry, and it's what we do for families is to minister to men and to women and to children, right? And also because I'm really proud of what the ladies that are in charge of this are putting together. Brittany's got a whole huge team. They've been working for months on this. And I want to read the verse that they're keying on here that's up on the screen, if you can read it. It's the Amplified version of Philippians 2:12 and 13. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instruction with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, and actively pursue spiritual maturity. He goes on to say, God, who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose. If you're a woman in here today, or if you're watching on screen, or if you hear about it from a friend, this is going to be an awesome event. It's going to start on a Friday night. It's going to go from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Deerfield Coffee House. There's going to be worship and fellowship. On Saturday, it'll go 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's 8 to 9 a.m. There'll be a coffee hour. So really, if you want to show up at 8 to 9, there'll be coffee 8 to 9. Then there'll be three discussion tracks that are going to focus on God, others, and self. It's going to be really exciting with three different groups of leaders that are leading this. So once again, I'm the man up here. Why am I talking about this? Well, I'd like to speak to the men and the grandfathers and the fathers for just a minute. This is a really great opportunity for a woman in this church to go to. If they have children or somebody that they care for, I would encourage you to help them with that. This is an opportunity for you to serve them and allow them to come. Now, if you're a woman and there isn't a role in your life that can help you, right now there is not childcare provided. But if there is an issue with that, we don't want that to be a barrier. Please reach out to me personally or reach out to Sister Brittany. Wave your hand. And we will make sure that that barrier is not there for you, because we want you to be blessed by this ladies' event. So men, help out your wives, help out your nieces, your aunts, whoever you can help out so that they can be a part of this, because it's really important for them. And God bless everybody.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
The calendar has progressed, and we are in November, and we are kicking off Christmas for Christ for 2021. And I would like to just briefly introduce a video that you're going to be seeing in just a moment. I just want to clarify a little bit. This is a video that was sent by Brother Hanthorn, who is the director of North American Missions for the Wisconsin District. He actually sent this to the pastors, but there are there are other churches that are showing this to the whole church, and I thought it was a good idea to give you a good insight into what Christmas for Christ is all about, and I'll come and give a little more explanation after that. If you can run that, please.
Hey, this is Joseph Hanthorn. I am privileged to serve as Wisconsin District North American Missions Director. It is that time of year when we start talking about Christmas for Christ. And I thought it would be good for me just to take a moment and talk to all of our pastors. First of all, I want to thank you for your continued partnership with our church planters and with Christmas for Christ over the past few years. More importantly, I want to celebrate with you a record offering that we had last year of $192,000. What I think is even more important than setting a record is the kind of investment that we have been able to make as a result of your sacrificial and faithful giving. This past year, of that $192,000 that was given, $149,000, that is 78% of that money, went directly into Wisconsin Missions, either by staying in the district or by being reinvested in our district through Christmas for Christ grants. We had 6 of our church planters this year receive Christmas for Christ grants in excess of $10,000 each. We've also been able to make some great investments in our local churches by providing branding packages, by helping them with websites, and we are currently talking about developing local Wisconsin Missions annual grants for all of our church planters. These kinds of investments would not be possible if it were not for the unified giving of this district. You know, I was thinking the other day that unified giving is always magnified giving. And when we give together, not only is there a spiritual principle of God blessing unity and sacrifice, but there is an economic principle of buying power and the impact that we can have. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never been part of Christmas for Christ giving, I want to encourage you to join with us this year, to be unified in investing in the mission, in the harvest, and more importantly, in our church planters. Would you consider this year, if you've never given your church an opportunity to give individually, would you consider doing that this year? One of the ways that you can do that is by allowing your church to use these envelopes. We have sent a stack of 100 envelopes to every church in our district. They're numbered 1 to 100, and by simply putting those on your platform at a particular service and giving your church an opportunity to come up and collect an envelope and make that number pledge to Christmas for Christ, your church could give an offering in excess of $5,000. And so I want to encourage you, let's not exclude our people this year in Christmas for Christ. Let's bring them into the equation, give them an opportunity to make Jesus part of their family and their giving considerations this year at Christmas time. I thank you for all you've done. I thank you for your kindness and your partnership in this area, and I look forward to seeing what God is going to do with this year's Christmas for Christ giving.
Now, as I said, this video was directed to pastors, and if you're not aware of it, Calvary Gospel Church has been a faithful contributor to Christmas for Christ since its beginning. Even when nobody else was given to Christmas for Christ, we had Christmas for Christ here at Calvary Gospel Church because this is where the idea began. So that part of it, we've already got that down. But if you as an individual have never given to Christmas for Christ, it's a great opportunity for you to get involved. We will be taking the official offering on December 19th, but you can give at any time, and you can give a little bit at a time over time until we send the offering in January. So the official offering date is December 19th. There are a number of ways in which you can give. We've already mentioned earlier in the service how you can give in the offering, and you can do all of those things. Just make sure that if you're giving to Christmas for Christ, you designate that amount for Christmas for Christ. Write a check, go online, text to give, all of those things. You can. One thing I would like to encourage you to do as a family, take a moment. Gather your family around and pray about Christmas for Christ. Pray about what it is you want to give to Jesus, to the work of God, to the kingdom of God this Christmas season, and make a determination at that level. The envelopes are not on the platform, but they are on a table out in the vestibule, and this is a way for you to remember or to pledge for yourself, this is the amount I want to give. There are some lower numbers, you know, in the single digits that you can pick those up maybe for your children. But there's also some other envelopes out there in the amount of $500 or $1,000, $2,500, $5,000, whatever you are able or willing to give, those envelopes will be there. Please pick them up. Make a plan, make a pledge. Be committed to this, and God will bless you for it. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor Seidel. If we could all stand this morning. And we want to start this service off in a prayer. Before we pray, I just want to bring, many of you have been praying for Sister Marcia Anderson for some time. She's been a member of Calvary Gospel Church for, well, as long as I can remember. I don't know how many years she's been here, but it's been decades. She's been really struggling in her health the last few years, and she passed away this Thursday. And I don't know if everyone here even knows who Sister Marcia is. Sister Karen Maurer, who is here, that's Sister Marcia's sister. Some of you may have put that together, and maybe you haven't. But we want to continue to just pray for Sister Karen, pray for the Anderson family. And as far as a memorial service for Sister Marcia, I'm not for sure of all the details on that. And we'll make those details available as they become available. So if we could just take and pray for this service, pray for the Anderson family, pray for Sister Karen. And just really believing she's finished her fight, church. She was very faithful in her service to God. And as Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've done what's been asked of me. And I'm now at home. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your many, many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the life that Sister Anderson has lived. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon her husband, the family, her daughter Vicky that's making all of the arrangements. I pray, God, for Sister Karen, her sister, that your hand would be upon in this family, that you would comfort them in this time of loss. Lord, we know that she's in a much better place, but Lord, she's still gone, and we still are going to miss her. And Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the life that she lived. I pray, God, for this service today. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon each and every one of us. Lord, I believe so strongly, Lord, that you have a word for us today. I pray, God, for Pastor Seidel as he brings forth the word. I pray for our worship team, Lord, as they bring us into a spirit of worship. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated if you would like. You can stand and continue worship as our worship team leads us into worship. God bless you. Thank you.
I'll declare your love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. For you, oh Lord, have made me glad. I will sing for joy at the works of your hand and rejoice at what you have done.
I'll give thanks
to you, Lord,
and sing praise to your name, O Most High.
I'll declare your love in the morning and your faithfulness by night.
For you,
oh Lord, have made me glad. I will sing for joy at the works of your hand
and rejoice in what you have done.
Say rejoice
in what you have done.
Your works, you have made me glad. Oh Lord, how great are your works. Oh Lord, how great are your works. Oh Lord, how great are your works. You have made me glad.
I will trust in you, Lord, for I know that you're on my side. I can rest, I won't be defeated. For you are the strength of my life.
For you, oh Lord, have made me glad. I will sing for joy at the works of your hand
and rejoice in what you have done.
Say rejoice
in what you have done.
Are your works?
We praise Jesus.
Oh Lord, how
place we've never seen before. You've done the impossible. We've seen our mountains move before. Your word is unstoppable, and with expectations we declare.
The mountains stand before us, the weapons form against us. We're standing on your promise. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things. We know that you are willing. We've seen that you are able. Oh God, release your favor. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things.
Hallelujah. We lift you up, Father. We believe you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Renew our minds, God. Restore our hopes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Renew, restore, revive your church and make us whole. Ignite, transform. We've never seen before.
You've done
the impossible.
We've seen our mountains move before.
Your word is unstoppable.
And with expectations we declare.
The mountains stand before us, and throw weapons form against us. We're standing on your promise. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things. We know that you are. We believe in you, Lord, for
me. We believe in Jesus. We're believing in Jesus, and we're claiming in Jesus. We thank you, God, for the greater things that are yet to come. Not only for what you've done, but what you've promised, God. We claim it, Jesus. We move forward in you, God.
Foundations are shaking, and every curse is breaking. Strongholds are falling, and greater things are coming.
Foundations are shaking, and every curse is breaking. Strongholds are falling, and greater things are coming.
Foundations are shaking,
and every curse is breaking.
The strongholds
are falling,
and greater
things are coming. We're standing on your promise. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things. We know that you are willing.
We've seen
that you are able.
Oh God.
Oh God, release your favor. We believe in you, Lord, for greater things. No mountains stand before us.
No weapons
form against us. We're standing on your promise. We believe.
Praise God. Acts 2:16 says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." I'd like to speak this morning on Eureka. This is that. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord here. Praise God. I was here yesterday with Pastor Roy and Brother Ty Haight. The Hmong congregation had a conference. People were here from several other states. And we found out it's true what we Pentecostals have been saying all along, that hallelujah is the same in every language. Praise God. We heard the word hallelujah over and over again, and we felt the presence of the Lord, even though 90% of what was being said and sung I didn't understand because it was in another language I didn't know. But I tell you what, it was the same Holy Ghost that was there, the same presence of God. Praise God. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen. I want to talk about a man named Archimedes. According to the historian Vitruvius, a crown was going to be made for the temple for King Hiero or Hiero II of Syracuse. And only pure gold was to be used. And it was up to Archimedes to determine whether or not the goldsmith had used only gold or if he had somehow infused some silver or covered silver with gold. And Archimedes had to solve this problem without damaging the crown at all. He couldn't melt it down. He couldn't cut into it. He couldn't check inside, you know, by breaking it or anything. It had to be kept in its current form. According to Vitruvius, Archimedes was taking a bath, which is a good thing in my view. He was taking a bath, and when he got in the water, he realized that the level of water rose as he got in and realized that however much volume he inserted into that tub, that's how much water was going to rise or wash over the side. Now, we don't know if this is exactly how it happened, but this is the story. So he realized that if he submerged the crown in water, it would displace as much water as its own volume. Because of its irregular shape, its irregular size, he couldn't easily measure it. Of course, he could weigh it, but he didn't know just how much material there was, how much mass there was just by its weight. So he had to find out what its volume was. And it dawned on him that this was a good way to determine what the volume would be. He could figure out the density. And if he knew the density, then he would know if it was gold or if there was something else mixed in. And according to the story, he was there in the tub and all of this came into his mind all in a moment. And he said, "Eureka!" And the rest of the story is that he ran down the street naked, shouting "Eureka!" Now, I don't know if that's true either, but that's where the Eureka moment comes from. This is where we get that idea. And it's especially associated with gold, but according to Webster, it's a moment of sudden triumphant discovery, inspiration, or insight. Now, if you know anything about Archimedes, you know that this did not just occur to some guy in a tub. He was a Greek mathematician, a physicist, an engineer, an astronomer, and an inventor. Of course, those are terms that are projected back to that time. But he is considered to be one of the greatest mathematicians of all time. So he wasn't just some, you know, I didn't want to name a profession that would diminish anyone, but he wasn't just some guy, okay? He had a little background. He actually is given credit for deriving and proving a number of geometrical theorems. Area of a circle, surface area, volume of a sphere, number of things, among others. This Eureka moment, this aha moment, we've had them. We've all probably all had them one time or another. This sudden insight. But usually it's really a two-phase process where it's something that we've been thinking about or dealing with or wrestling with or questioning for some time. We come to an impasse. We can't really get an answer. Anybody have that happen in your life? I won't ask you, but I imagine there are some that are here right now that feel that way. This impasse, this dead end. And the second phase occurs suddenly and unexpectedly after a break maybe. And did you ever work on something for days and realize I'm not getting anywhere and put it down? And then you walk away and suddenly the next day it just occurs to you. Or you have a dream and you get an answer that way. This is the second phase. It's a eureka moment. On the day of Pentecost, Peter had one of those eureka moments when he said, This thing we're experiencing here, this thing that's happening to these hundreds of people, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is the thing we've been waiting for. This is the thing we've been talking about. This is the thing that was promised. This is that. You see, Peter was a Hebrew. He had been raised with the Hebrew scriptures. He'd spent 3.5 years walking with Jesus, the King of Kings. He knew the story of Exodus 13, where it says they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham and in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go day and night. Peter had this image, this story in his mind of how his forebears had followed the cloud. He received understanding from the teaching of Jesus. In Matthew 16:13, it says, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Actually, it was a question that was being asked all over Israel at that time. Who is this Jesus? And nobody really had a good answer, or many were struggling with the answer. He said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" In that service yesterday, the monk service, the preacher preached about this passage. He didn't break it down quite the way that I would have done it. But nonetheless, the question, and he emphasized this, we have to answer this question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do I say that Jesus is? Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had an answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This comes by revelation, Jesus said. This is something of an aha moment right here. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise God. Peter had an understanding. I don't know if it came to him in that moment, or if he had come to this conclusion, but he was the one that had the answer. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'm not sure if he understood completely what that meant. I don't know if he was repeating what he had been told, or if he had come this far, but he still didn't have it all, I don't think. Because just a little while later, in the next chapter, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, prior to this, prior to chapter 17, Jesus said, this only comes by revelation. And there are those among you, he said, who will not see death before they see the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of discussion on exactly what he meant, but in chapter 17, this is what happened. After 6 days, this is just within a week or so after Peter's confession. "Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up on a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." He said, "Wow, Jesus, you're at the same level as Moses and Elijah." While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What's the voice of God saying? No, this is a little different here, Peter. You haven't got the whole understanding. This is my beloved Son. I'm here. My presence is here wherever he goes. It's not just a prophet. It's not just a leader. It's not just a great man. It's the Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. This is a process that all of the disciples had to go through. This continual revelation. It's a process that all of his disciples today have to go through. We need to let God reveal himself to us. Praise God. If you think you know everything there is to know about God, you've fooled yourself. John 14. See, Peter had received personal promises as well. He was there when Jesus made commitments, when he made promises to his disciples. Verse 15, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Praise God. They were coming to the realization that Jesus, the man, was going to die. He was trying to explain to them how he would still be with them after his death, how his body was going to leave, but he would be with them in the Holy Spirit. Not another person, but Jesus Christ himself in the Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. He is right here, and shall be in you. Do you see the gradual process here? In the Old Testament, it was a cloud. It was a pillar of fire. And the Bible tells us that the Israelites, they were so frightened by the manifestation of God's power on the mountain that they told Moses, you go talk to God, and we'll listen to you. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face was shining so brightly, kind of like the garments of Jesus on the mount, that they were afraid to look at him. So it was necessary then for God to lead them by a pillar of fire. They were afraid. They needed to keep their distance, but they followed. There's a lot of people that are following Jesus. There's a lot of people that are trying to keep an eye on what the Bible says, but they're not quite ready to get too close. And here are the disciples on the mountain with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, I believe it was. I can't remember what mountain it was. I'm sorry. And suddenly there's a cloud surrounding them. Now they're not far off from the pillar. Now the cloud's all around them. I remember the first time I came into a Pentecostal church. I remember the first time I felt surrender in the presence of God. It just was overwhelming. Praise God. It's a different experience to come into a Pentecostal church where people are praising God and lifting up his name and worshiping. There's a cloud of God's presence that come. He said he promised to be there when there were two or three gathered in his name. Hallelujah. Now Peter and James and John are on the mountain, and they're in the midst of God's presence. It's all around them. It's not a cloud. It's not a pillar somewhere off in the distance. They're not following with the rest of the crowd. It's just the three of them in the presence of Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And the presence of God is all around. Some people experience this and they think it's enough. I've come into the, whoa, we have great church. We have great worship. We feel God's presence. That's a good thing. Amen. But Jesus said, I have been with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, but he said, I'm coming to you. So obviously, he's talking about his own spirit. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. And ye and me, but ye see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise God. This is, Peter heard all of this, but I still don't believe that he understood it all. I don't know that I would have understood it. Peter had, what I'm saying is, it's like Archimedes. It's like any of us, that when we have that moment, when it becomes clear, when there's insight. Peter had a background. Peter had the word. Peter had the ministry of Jesus. Peter had the Old Testament. He had a lot of history that led up to this day of Pentecost. And to this eureka moment. When he said, this is that. All of his experience was real. All of the teaching he received from Jesus was true. It was valid. It was right. He had the Old Testament. But it wasn't until the day of Pentecost when he had that tremendous experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues that he realized that this, all of that is this right here. Now I see what Jesus was talking about. Now I understand what he meant. Now I know why we had to wait here. Now I know why he had to die. Now I know why he had to go away. This is that. Eureka! This is what God wanted to do all along. This is what God wanted to do in my life. Hallelujah. I remember when I first began to understand that God had a plan for me, that the Word of God was for me, that the presence of God was real, that the Word of God was alive, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I started to understand this is that. Some people are offended when we try to tell them God has more for you. God has more for you. Some people are offended by the Bible. Some people are offended by the claims of Christianity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Some believers are offended when they're told that there is more in God. That doesn't mean that your faith isn't real. That doesn't mean that you don't believe in God. That doesn't mean that you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, but there's more. This offends some people. But why should it offend us to understand that God has more for us? Where in the Bible does it say we're ever going to reach the point where we have everything God has to offer? You know, we can take on the name of Jesus Christ. We can wear it. Praise God. That's what water baptism is all about. We are baptized in the name of Jesus. We take on the name, the Bible says, that is above every other name. Why wouldn't a believer want to take on the name of God? Praise God. There's more. We can be filled with his Spirit. We don't have to be content to follow. You know, a disciple is a follower, a believer. But there's something different about an apostolic, Because an apostolic believes that God can fill you up with his presence. I don't have to follow a cloud. I don't have to just rely on feeling his presence. But he can dwell inside of me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, there's more. We can be anointed for service. It isn't just for preaching in the pulpit. Anointing comes upon everyone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be called to different levels of ministry. There's more in Jesus. We can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. We need to get to the point where we can say, this is that. Praise God, I'm teaching a home Bible study. I can see in that person's eyes the faith growing. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Praise God. I'm teaching a Sunday school class and I see the transformation taking place right before my eyes in this child's life. This is that. Hallelujah. Nikola Tesla is a famous engineer and scientist. I believe he was a Christian. Arguably, one of the greatest electrical engineers of all time. He is given credit for recognizing or understanding direct current, electrical DC. With alternating current, he recognized and identified the ability to use alternating current, because up until that time, direct current had been discovered and was being used. The difference is direct current is a continual flow in one direction of electricity. It's what your car battery gives out. Direct current. Alternating current actually changes directions. It goes back and forth in the whole circuit. It's what we get what's in the outlets in our electrical systems. Alternating current can travel further without losing voltage. And direct current loses voltage over distance. So it was a great understanding, but he was well-versed. He was already an inventor. He was well-educated, and he had seen direct current being used and applied. But the story is that he was walking one day in a park and suddenly it occurred to him that electricity could flow in either direction. And he quickly found a friend and drew with his walking stick in the earth his understanding, his design, his recognition of alternating current. And from that point forward, he was able to develop an alternating current generation system. God can meet with you anywhere. If you're online, you can be filled with God's Holy Spirit right in your home. I want you to have a this is that moment today. Praise God. You don't have to be in church. This is that. He's everywhere. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He can talk to your heart in any situation. In grief, in success, in failure, he can talk to us. He can meet with us. He wants to lead us. Yes, he wants us to follow the cloud, to follow the pillar, but he wants us to get closer. He wants us to feel his presence. You can feel his presence where you are today. But most of all, he wants to reveal himself to each one of us personally. He wants to fill us with his presence. He wants our lives to be led by him. He wants us to be surrounded by his presence, but he wants to be inside of us, guiding and directing our hearts and minds and spirits. Maybe you're here today and you need to have one of those aha moments. Maybe you're at an impasse in your walk with God. Maybe COVID has confused your plans and your understanding. And you want to know, where do I go from here, God? He doesn't always necessarily lay it out for us. Sometimes he comes in a moment in the Holy Spirit and reveals it to us. Maybe you need a eureka moment this morning. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to be refilled, renewed, refreshed. See, God is not limited by time. God is not worried about how long or even when. The Bible talks about the fullness of time. He's in control. He's not bound by the limits of time. And it may seem like you've been waiting a long time, but he's looking for the moment when you're ready. All of your experience has led to this moment. This, today, this moment, this hour, this mess, this is that which was spoken to you by the Holy Spirit. Just before Peter said this is that in Acts 2, he had one of those God moments along with 120 other believers. The Bible says that suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. They were all gathered together in one place, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. This is a miraculous moment. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. 120 or more, all of them experienced the same wonderful God moment, and they all began to speak with other tongues. He had prepared them for this moment. God had spoken to them over time. Jesus had given them direction and instructions. They had had other eureka moments. They had walked with Jesus, but he said, wait here, there's more. I don't know how long you've been waiting for that experience, for that moment, for that eureka. He had taught them personally. He had walked with them. He had eaten with them. They had had mountaintop experiences. And he had revealed things to them. But he said, wait, there's more. There's more. There's more. Let's stand. They were believers. They were the purest of all disciples. They were the ones that were left after everyone else had gone away. But Jesus said, wait, stay here, there's more. Wait, there's a moment coming. I've got something for you. Praise God. There's an experience. There's a revelation. There's an understanding. There's a word. There's a promise. God has something for you today. 2 Corinthians 3 says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds, they could not perceive it. They could not believe it. Their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil, because they did not want to look at the face of Moses, which was reflecting the revelation, the glory of God. God wants to reveal himself to us. Until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Jesus Christ. But even to this day, a veil lies on our heart. Nevertheless, everyone say nevertheless. When one turns to the Lord, I'm just asking you to turn to the Lord today. In your impasse, in your confusion, in your struggle, just turn to the Lord. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Praise God. I don't know, I can't identify everyone's experience. But wherever you are in Jesus today, there's more. Praise God. I'd like to invite you to come and seek His face. Come down here to the front and just turn to the Lord, is what the scripture says. And He can reveal, you can have that aha moment. If you've never been filled with God's Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, now is the moment. He's prepared you for this. He's given you His promise. He's given you His word. If you're seeking to know His will in your life, praise God. He wants to show you. God is able. God is able. Praise God. There's more. Praise God. Aha. Eureka. This. What you're experiencing today is that. He's brought you to this moment so that He can show you His will, so He can reveal Himself to you, so He can fill you up, so He can cover you with His presence. Thank you, Jesus.
Is now revealed.
soar before you. You silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens all roar the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal.
What a powerful name.
Praise the Lord, church. I thank you, Pastor Seidel, for a powerful message this morning. We had two powerful messages, Brother Wallace. You can run, but you can't hide. And Eureka. This is that. We're going to be entering this week. A lot of you won't be here on Wednesday night because of family and Thanksgiving. I just want to encourage you as you gather around your table for Thanksgiving dinner to share something with your family that you're thankful for. But the challenge is not using anything materialistic. There's so many things that I'm so thankful for that have nothing to do with stuff. So you may have stuffing on the table, but share something with your family that you're thankful for and appreciative of without mentioning stuff. Can we do that? A little Thanksgiving challenge. We'll be here Wednesday evening with a special Thanksgiving message. And then Thursday, many of us will be here with our outreach team having Thanksgiving. And if you don't have a place to go on Thursday, you're welcome to come here and have Thanksgiving with many brothers and sisters. Come as long as you'd like to, short as you'd like to. If you need anything for Thanksgiving as far as a meal or whatever, this is a place to come. And then Brother Jerry Simmons is over all of this. If you have any questions, feel free to contact Brother Jerry. If you'd like to volunteer, help out, minister to one another that day, you're more than welcome as well. God bless you all. Thank you to our music worship team, Sister Abby, Sister Brittany, all the rest of you. God bless you. We will see you back here on Wednesday evening.